At this time, we'll go ahead and begin the Upper San Gabriel Valley Municipal Water District Board of Directors meeting this July 28th at 8 a.m. And Vanessa, can you please call the roll?
Director Fellow?
Here.
Director Trevino?
Here.
Director Garcia?
Here.
Vice President Santana? President Chavez?
Present. Thank you. I'm happy to see everyone here. And then it just by chance, I'm happy on our day because it's always payday for me. It's always on the second and fourth, the Wednesday of the month. So it gives me a great delight to be here knowing that I have a couple more dollars in my pocket. we'll go ahead and start with item number one, Pledge of Allegiance. So Ruben, can you get that queued up for us, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. We'll go to item number two, roll call of the Board of Directors. And Vanessa, can you please call the roll?
Director Fellow?
Here.
Director Trevino?
Here.
Director Garcia?
Here.
Vice President Santana? President Chavez?
Present. Let the record show that four directors are here. We'll go to item number three, the adoption of the agenda. Is there a motion?
Move to approve.
It's been moved by Fellow, second by Trevino. And hearing no discussion, and please call the roll for the vote, Vanessa.
Director Fellow?
Aye.
Director Trevino?
Aye.
Director Garcia?
Aye.
And President Chavez?
Aye. Thank you. That item passes on a 4-0 vote. We'll go to public comments. Anyone wishing to address the Board of Directors this morning may do so at this time. Either just let us know or have your hand raised. And Vanessa, do we have any predetermined public speakers that have made any requests?
Good morning, President Chavez. We received no public comment. And at this time, if anyone wishes to speak, they may raise their hand. If you are attending by telephone, you can press *9. And I see no hands raised at this time.
Okay. Then we'll go to item number 5, which is committee reports. So we have one in the packet. There's the administration and finance committee that reports there. If the chair would like to add anything to that report, may do so at this time. If not, we'll go ahead and file that report. We'll go to item number 6, our consent calendar. There are 2 items there. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved, Trevino.
Second, Fellow.
Thank you. It's moved by Director Trevino, seconded by Director Fellow. Any discussion? If not, then please call the roll of Vanessa.
Director Fellow?
Aye.
Director Trevino?
Aye.
Director Garcia?
Aye.
President Chavez?
Aye. So that passes on a 4-0 vote. Thank you. We'll go to item number 7, which is some items that are action or discussion items. And the first one is 7A. We have our new general manager from the Metropolitan District of Southern California. And Mr. Love, would you like to introduce our special guest?
Yeah, I'm very pleased today to make our first official introduction of the new Metropolitan General Manager, Adele Haga-Khalil. Adele comes to Metropolitan after a long period of time with the City of Los Angeles. Most of that time was with the Bureau of Sanitation, but more recently as head of the Streets Division in the City of Los Angeles. But during his career, Adele has been involved in some more regional and national efforts, including more than a decade as a board member on the National Association of Clean Water Agencies, including serving a term as president, and was named a Water Environment Federation Fellow just a couple of years ago in 2019. He also was very involved in the development of the City of Los Angeles's 2040 One Water LA plan. And not to steal some of his thunder, but Dell has used that term One Water, We Are One, in his kind of messaging right out of the starting gate. So with that, I would like to turn it over to Adele to make a few short words of introduction. But before he does, I also want to let everyone know, including our producers, you should have received notice that we are going to have a welcome breakfast for Adele on August 18th, and more information will be forthcoming. But we look forward to that opportunity, and Adele can share with us at that time his vision for the future of Metropolitan. So, Adele, go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you, Tom, and thank you, Chair President Chavez, and look forward to coming on the 18th. Thank you to the directors, Director Fellow. Thank you for having me, Director Trevino. Thank you for all the work you've done also on Metropolitan. Also, Director Garcia. I know how important underserved community is for you and for all of us. Resiliency is important. Water is critical, and I'm honored to join Metropolitan. I'm somebody that really believes on coming together and working together and thinking through what I call the three I's, the integration, innovation, and inclusion. And that's really the theme of what I bring together and what I'm going to do to really help us. Now, I come at a time at Metropolitan where we're facing the worst drought that we're looking at. And this is not just a one-time thing. This is a changing climate. We're seeing changing conditions, hotter and drier days. We're seeing the snowpack is melting and it's not, you know, still being stored in the snowpack. We're seeing quick evaporation. We're seeing the lowest level of storage in Lake Mead, Lake Powell. Our allocation in the State Water Project is the lowest ever, and it does not look like we're going to rebound. So this old, the old normal, where what I call the old playbook that we use as water managers, that basically say, oh, the drought here, next year it's going to come back, I'll be fine. It's not going to work again. What we've used is importing water and storing it and waiting for the next rain. I think that old book, I think, needs new chapters and new things that we need to look at. The new chapters are what I bring together. It's the new chapters of increasing our local water supply, doubling down on recycled water. And I'm glad John is here with us to talk about the Regional Water Project, which I'm hoping that we can rename it as Pure Water Met or Pure Water Southern California or something, because it's the future. And I know it's important for you. For your region, and we're going to partner with you in the Upper San Gabriel of how we bring water and how we partner on all this. But we need to continue on conservation. We need to continue looking for new ways to increase conservation, but doing it in a different way. I know it's important to look at the underserved communities, and many of our underserved communities have not had access to the rebate and the demand management. And we need to really figure that out and how we open the accessibility. But then we need to think about other things. Like, I've talked to some of the congressional leadership and at the in DC. I have meetings in half an hour with some of them. And then in Sacramento, they talk about lead pipes. I said to them, let's talk about leaky pipes too. The leaky pipes that go from the line to the home, old pipes, and people cannot afford to fix it. So let's figure out how we can help, because every drop counts, everything we do counts. And I want to figure out how we can build resiliency, work together, because I want to make sure that when the tap is open, no matter what the conditions are, we're going to have water coming out of it. And your member agencies and your district, like all 26 member agencies, will be relying on us to make sure we work together to provide that diverse portfolio of water, and also build resiliency, build ways that we can move water around, store water in the underground aquifers, remediate our groundwater. All these things have to come. And what I call that, that's the one water concept. That's really where we come together. This is the pen I use. This is, I know we talked about it when we had the general managers meeting a few weeks ago, Tom, in Inland Empire. I brought all the general managers from the various 26 member agencies to talk about, we are one. MET is here to serve you. We don't exist. MET does not exist without its member agencies. And I value your needs and your priorities, but we're going to work together on this. And this is what the campaign I have here is, we are one. We are one water. We are one people. We are one MET. We are one region. But also what I'm sending the message is investments in us here in Southern California by the state and the federal government is going to help resolve the tension on the Bay Delta. It's going to help resolve the tension on the Colorado. It's going to address the water issues with the tribes, the Native American. We're going to really work hard on investments here as we do things here for local water supply, increasing recycled water, capturing more storm water, remediating our groundwater, building more storage, building more connectivity is going to help remove that tension as we become more reliant on local water supply. The journey starts. I'm working really hard to build trust and build relationships. Appreciate your board members. Director Fellow has been great. We met, we talked, and how we're going to move together. But also appreciate the previous board director, Trevino, and others. And Tom, look forward to working with you and your team as we move forward. I had a meeting with John. I said, how can we expedite the recycled water project? Let's figure something out. You hear me all the time. I want to talk about is sometimes we. I want people to think outside the box. And I said the other day, I said, let's throw the box away. We cannot have the same thing working. We need something new. And I'm here to work hard for you. I'm here to partner with you. I extend my hand to you to really work together. I need your support. We're going to have some tough decisions, but I will tell you, it's going to be through collaboration, through partnership, through listening and respect. And that's something that I will bring forward. I'm honored that I have the privilege to serve as the head of MET. It doesn't get more important than this position, but also it's humbling. I am part of the people. As an immigrant, I know what people go through. But also as somebody who has worked 30 years in water, I know what water means. And I brought some great efforts across the region and the nation. And I'll bring that to you. And you can count on me to be a solid partner, to be somebody that would respect your views. And we will move us forward because we're all, as we should say, we all are one. So thank you. And look forward to seeing you. Anytime you invite me with food, I come quickly. So I look forward to seeing you on the 18th. And thank you, President Chavez, for having me. And Director Fellow, thank you very much for having me. And Tom, look forward to seeing you all in person.
Well, thank you. And we look forward to working with you. We're excited to hear more about you next month and when we all gather. Just to let you know, our board is very active, very thinking outside of that box and comes up with a lot of creative solutions. And we would like to partner with you and your agency to get those done. And like I said, we're in good shape. Our general manager has been a great captain for us on this ship. And so long as there's water under the ship, we're okay. Thank you. So we'll go to item number 7B, which is an update of the regional recycle water program. And we also have another special guest there. Mr. Love, can you introduce that?
Before I introduce John, Dale, thank you for your comment on expediting this project. I was reminiscent of the interim general manager here when I was hired, Fran Dulac. He was a lover of movie trivia. And there's a quote from Jeff Goldblum, the actor, and he said the same quote in two different movies, and that's the trivia question. I'll say the quote, and then you guys can guess which movies it was from. But he said, must go faster, must go faster. So, John, I think that's our message, especially in these times. So with that, John is the chief engineer and group manager of engineering for Metropolitan Water District, oversees all of the engineering and construction activities and implementation of the capital improvement plan. He's been with Metropolitan since 1991, worked on numerous projects, including the massive $1.1 billion Inland Feeder Project, and more recently has led Metropolitan's efforts to support the design concepts for the Delta Conveyance Project. He's a registered civil engineer, went to school right here in the San Gabriel Valley, Claremont McKenna College, and holds a master's degree in public administration and master of science in environmental engineering from USC. And with that, John, tell us how you're going to go faster.
Thank you, Tom. Good morning, President Chavez and members of the board, Director Trevino, Director Fellow. Good to see you again. Tom asked me to make this presentation high level, so I don't want to scare anybody away. It's not going to be a technical presentation, and Adele really teed this up nicely. Can we get the first slide? You know, with any of these presentations, you really need to start somewhere. And I always let's go to the second slide. And I always like to start with some familiar information first. And, you know, many of you are familiar with this slide, and Adele touched on it. We still import a majority of our water to Southern California from either Northern California or the Colorado River. And as Adele mentioned, there are droughts going on, as we're well aware. The state water project allocation this year is 5%. We've been working with Tom and your staff to try and figure out, you know, how can we shift those state water project exclusive areas to receive Colorado River aqueduct? You know, we do have a full aqueduct this year, but climate change is taking its toll on the Colorado River watershed, and that's in a long-term drought condition too. So it really brings to focus some of the things that have already been mentioned about increasing local water supplies. And so I'm here to talk about the regional program. I want to start by thanking your agency for being one of the first agencies to really jump on board. You're one of our primary stakeholders in this project. We've been collaborating with your general manager to work on pipeline alignments that you have already developed with your previous project, and I'll talk about those in a few minutes. So without further ado, you know, to pull off a project like this, it really takes large agencies. Next slide. And of course, you know, Metropolitan is the largest. I was looking at an old presentation. I had a couple intro slides on Metropolitan and the LA County Sanitation Districts. But with that said, it does take two large agencies to really pull off a program of this size. And so we're really combining the best of Metropolitan and the LA County Sanitation Districts to develop this new regional supply. They have a supply now of water that's going to the ocean. It's not being reclaimed. We're planning to purify that water, replenish groundwater basins like the main San Gabriel Basin and others as available, provide that water to industries. This is certainly going to be a high purity water supply. We've been working with some agencies down in the South Bay. There's potential customers down there. And eventually, as the regulations develop, the plan is to connect this supply to a couple of Metropolitan's water treatment plants. And, you know, most notably, it is going to be Metropolitan's first in-region supply of water. We've historically imported water for 90 years, and this is going to be our first venture into actually developing a local resource, as many of our member agencies have already done in past years. Next slide. So 150 MGD is our target at this point. There may be possibilities to grow that project further in the future, but as a starting point, we're looking at 150 million gallons per day or 168,000 acre feet per year. We project that this is enough water for over 500,000 homes within the Los Angeles Basin and will be one of the largest projects of its kind once it's underway. We do plan to phase this project, so we want to make sure that we right-size it. We may or may not build it initially to 150 MGD. Those are some of the things that we're working on now as we develop our environmental planning documents for the project. Next slide. So the benefits of the program really go to resiliency of water supply for the region. Obviously, there's the drought making us more resilient in drought conditions, but there's also the earthquake consideration. All of our imported supplies come across the San Andreas Fault and other faults that are scattered through the Los Angeles region, the Southern California region. This will help earthquake-proof a major supply of water for Southern California, make our groundwater basins more resilient. You'll be able to count on replenishment supplies year in and year out from this project. The economy will be more resilient as we're able to, again, rely on substantial supplies of water. And then wastewater, we're going to make beneficial use of the wastewater supply that is now going out to the ocean untreated. Next slide. So many of you are familiar with the source of this water supply. This is a view looking from north to south of what we call the Joint Water Pollution Control Plant down in Carson. This is the LA County Sanitation District's final treatment plant before the water is discharged to the ocean. If you look in the center of the slide, you can see their secondary treatment process. This is a it produces not what we call non-nitrified secondary effluent that flows in about a 7-mile tunnel out to the ocean. The LA County Sanitation District is working with Metropolitan and has identified a portion of their property at this site called the Forco site and additional site that's bounded in blue there that will be the site of the advanced water treatment facilities. We will purify that water and then send it through a brand new pipeline about 35 to 38 miles up to the main San Gabriel basin behind the dam there, where we'll do the replenishment activities, and we'll also have replenishment along that pipeline route. The site is strategically located, as you can see, right next to the joint plant, so there's plenty of property available. We are currently working with the LA County Sanitation District to determine whether modifying their existing secondary treatment process would be a meaningful way to move this project forward, and I'll talk about that in a few minutes. So that's a big evolution of this project recently. Next slide. And then there's, besides the water treatment facilities, there is also the pipeline. And this is often overlooked, as in many of these projects, the end users of the project are located very close to the treatment plant itself, but not in this case. As I mentioned, we have 35 to 38 miles of large diameter pipeline that will leave the joint plant, go eastward and then northward. And we're looking at multiple alignment options, and I'll show you those in a second right now. But this is conceived to be about an 84-inch diameter pipeline with multiple pump stations along the way. And this would be what we call the backbone pipeline system. So as I mentioned earlier, we may or may not build treatment capacity up to 150 MGD initially on this project. We may start at a smaller amount depending on what the initial users are indicating they can take from this project. We don't want to overbuild the treatment facilities. But like our forebearers before us on the Colorado River Aqueduct, we only want to build the backbone pipeline once. So we're anticipating that we're going to build that pipeline for full capacity so we don't have to go back into the city streets and other areas and put a second pipeline in the future. So you can see along the way, we've got injection wells in the West Coast Basin planned. Long Beach also has injection wells in there near their city. Montebello Forebay, we can either use spreading or injection wells around there. And then up in the main Santa Fe area, we're planning to use spreading basins, coordinating our work with LA County Flood Control and also the Army Corps of Engineers. Next mouse click, please. So then in future, I mentioned direct potable reuse. We've got a couple options for that. You can see the two green lines that take off eastward from the main backbone. We'll probably actually only build one of these green lines. And right now we're really zeroing in on the northmost, coming from the Santa Fe spreading grounds and heading over to our Weymouth plant, because that allows us really, with that pipeline and a key structure at the Weymouth plant, to either send that purified water directly to the Weymouth plant or to send it down to the Deamer plant. So we basically get two plants hit with one pipeline. There's the opportunity to blend that water, the purified water, with either State Water Project or Colorado River supplies at the Weymouth plant. So it's really a very strategic location for us to take the purified water and get it to our two treatment plants. Next click. And we're also coordinating with the City of Los Angeles, the Los Angeles Department of Water and Power. We've actually had a letter of intent with them to collaborate for about 2 years. This was our first letter of intent on this project, and I'll talk about the other ones in a few minutes. But many of you have heard of their project NEXT. This is a project to basically recycle and repurpose and reuse all of the water coming out of the Hyperion plant. And so LADWP approached us a couple years ago and asked us to talk about collaboration with them, and we've identified a potential tie-in point near the Montebello Forebay where they would be able to introduce water into our backbone pipeline. We're also coordinating with them on some of their studies that may send their water north up into the San Fernando Valley. There's opportunities that water could eventually go to our Jensen plant, and we could do raw water augmentation with that. And then we're also collaborating with them and WRD on how best to serve some of the planned desalting projects that are planned in the West Coast Basin. So a tremendous amount of collaboration going on, and I'm going to talk to that in a few minutes about all of the work that we've been doing over the last couple of years in that specific area. Next slide. So here is that slide. These are our program partners. This slide represents about 2 years of really hard, difficult work. I would say complicated work, not hard work, but very involved efforts, working with a lot of potential partners to develop what we call either formal agreements or letters of intent with all of these agencies that are represented on the slide. First and foremost, I want to point out in the upper left-hand corner is our main partner, the LA County Sanitation Districts. We actually have a formal agreement with them, and that agreement was modified in December of last year. It is actually now a funding agreement where they are contributing up to $6 million towards Metropolitan's $30 million environmental planning effort. We also have letters of intent with the member agencies listed in the center of the slide, and you can see Upper San Gabriel Valley, MWD there, along with five other agencies that we're collaborating with. Of course, we're working closely with the groundwater basin managers, both WRD and Tony Zampiello over at the Water Master's office. And then in the bottom right, we've got some other key partners that are going to be really critical to us as we build that backbone pipeline. The Army Corps of Engineers, Southern California Edison, we're talking to them about dual purposing some of their high voltage power line right away to build our pipeline in, and also with LA County Public Works, collaborating with them on finding a place to put this water in replenishment basins, primarily up in the main San Gabriel Basin. And then in the bottom left, I'll talk about for a minute about our Colorado River partners. We have a formal agreement now, a funding agreement that was executed in December of last year with Southern Nevada Water Authority. They are also a funding partner, up to $6 million to this project, with the potential expectation that they may become an equity stakeholder in the project in the future. And in return for their contributions to funding the capital portion of the project, Metropolitan would potentially leave water on the Colorado River that they would be able to use. We're looking at a similar agreement with Arizona also. That agreement is in development and may be brought to the board in the upcoming months. Next slide. So here's how these institutional arrangements play out, and there's going to be a series of mouse clicks here, and let's hit on the first one, which is LA County Sanitation Districts down in Carson. First mouse click. There we go. There are our main partner in this program, and then another click, please. As I mentioned, we have a partnership now with the Water Replenishment District, City of Long Beach, City of Torrance, up to 80,000 acre feet per year are projecting that they could use once they get their desalter program going down in the South Bay and Long Beach replenishing their groundwater basin. Another mouse click. And then we've been working with the Water Master, with your agency, and with Three Valleys, MWD, and have identified, and through our letter of intent with you all, that there is a long-term average need of about 40,000 acre feet per year to be replenished into the main San Gabriel Basin. But there is a potential that we could go up even higher, and that's what's reflected in this range of at the high end of 60 to 80,000 acre feet per year. So your basin and your agency is going to be a very large participant in this program going forward. Next click. And then we've got some of our other folks that I mentioned. We've got LADWP with the city's NEXT program and LA County Public Works. And then one more mouse click, I think. And I've already mentioned our Colorado River partners. So that kind of puts all of these institutional arrangements and their contributions to the projects together kind of in one slide there. Okay, next click. So where are we now? Tom wanted me to focus on kind of, I've kind of touched on some of the institutional things. Where is the program now? What is the plan for it? And I'm sorry, Tom and Adele, I don't have the accelerated schedule that everybody is asking for. This is our baseline schedule now. You can see the project comes online in the early 2030s, but we'll be working hard to see if we can shave a few years off of that. So in November 2020, big step, the board approved moving on to the environmental planning process. We had set aside a budget, internal O&M budget of $30 million to fund roughly a two and a half to three year effort for the environmental planning process. So that is in progress now, and that is expected, like I said, to last about 2.5 to 3 years, and we'll be coming back to the board anticipated now in early 2024 to certify the environmental documents for this program. Now, the next step would be moving into design and construction, and this would be an area that there are probably some opportunities for in the program, starting some of the design activities while we're in the environmental planning process. Typically, Metropolitan does not do that. We're a bit risk averse with the environmental planning process. We don't want to strand design efforts if the environmental planning effort goes in a different direction. But this could be an area that we would start early design concepts now rather than waiting. There are certain aspects of the program that are pretty well defined, and we could start preliminary and possibly final design in those areas. And as we come out of the environmental planning process, we'd be situated to go right into construction activities and advance that schedule by a couple of years, I would suspect. But we're going to really take a deep dive on that, as Adele suggested, and come back and update all of you in the future. Next slide. So here are some of the recent accomplishments. I mentioned this briefly. Metropolitan's board in November of last year authorized the environmental planning process. In June, just a month ago, Metropolitan's board authorized an $8 million agreement with a consulting firm to assist us with the conveyance planning. This is a major agreement, and you'll see in a slide upcoming how complex the planning is going to be for the conveyance. This is the backbone pipeline system. So that happened in June of this year. And then this summer, Metropolitan LACSD, we're wrapping up our first phase of testing at the demonstration plant down in Carson. Hopefully some of you have had an opportunity to go out and visit the facility either in person or virtually. I'll talk about that towards the end of the presentation. Next slide. So here's some of the detail behind the conveyance engineering and technical studies that we're undertaking. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail, but suffice to say, there are a lot of different ways to get from Carson up to the main San Gabriel Basin, and you can see those on the right-hand side, and all of those different alignments are going to be studied as we move our way through the environmental planning process, but they do converge on the Santa Fe Spreading Grounds area, about 35 miles from the source of the water. We've started a very robust community outreach program, meeting with each and every one of the cities and communities along the pipeline routes, explaining the project to them, listening to their concerns. So this is part of our informal planning process. We also have a more formal planning process and community outreach process as part of the environmental effort that we'll be starting, that we've already started, but I'll talk about that again in a slide coming up. Next slide. So while we're busy at Metropolitan, LA County Sanitation Districts is also very busy supporting the program, not only with their assistance at the demonstration plant, but they also have a number of activities that are going on. They're doing a very detailed testing and monitoring plan on the incoming water to the joint plant so that we can more firmly quantify and understand what the makeup of that water is. We have a pretty good understanding now, but we want to make sure that we really nail the influent water quality to the plant and the success of their upstream treatment processes so that we can design the advanced water treatment facilities appropriately. They're also continuing cleanup of the Forco site. Forco stands for the Fletcher Oil Refinery Company, and that facility was taken offline in the 1980s. There was soil contamination. LA County Sanitation bought that property about 20 years ago as buffer and future potential expansion of the joint plant, but that's now being seen and potentially used for our advanced water treatment facility. So they're doing a cleanup of that site. It's almost done and will be ready by the time we start breaking ground for our facilities. They're also looking at how best to manage the waste residuals. So when we treat this water, there are residual streams that come off of our treatment process. We're looking at discharging those through the existing outfall and their new outfall that they're building, or their new tunnel that they're building. Excuse me, their outfalls remain the same out into the Pacific Ocean. And they're also looking at what potential upgrades can they make to their existing secondary treatment process. I mentioned that at the beginning of this presentation. This is really sort of a new step forward by the sanitation districts to really look kind of holistically, not only at our regional program, but also at their own existing treatment process and see if perhaps the best way to move this overall program forward is for them to make modifications to their existing plant. So they're looking at that very, very closely right now. Next slide. So here are some of the upcoming activities that we've got. In August of this year, actually in a couple weeks, Staff will be going to the Metropolitan Board to consider award of a consulting agreement to provide supplemental staff for the demonstration plant operations. We've got about another 18 months of operations there. We're moving into a stage where we're going to be doing testing on primary effluent from the joint plant. Up till now, we've been testing the secondary effluent, but we need to supplement our staff to carry on this testing. So Metropolitan's board is going to consider the award of a consulting agreement to do that. And then we've got two major agreements coming forward in the October timeframe. One is to actually award the consulting agreement to produce the programmatic EIR. That's what we call the CEQA environmental planning effort itself. We're already in that phase, but we're recommending to bring on board a consultant to assist us with that effort. And then simultaneous with that, we are recommending bringing on a consultant to assist us with some of the advanced water treatment engineering and technical studies that will support that environmental planning effort. And then in December, towards the end of the year, we'll commence this what we call the secondary MBR testing. That's treating the primary effluent from the joint plant. Next slide. So here's some of the key milestones on the environmental planning effort and also the outreach effort that goes with that. So as I mentioned, we're already underway with some of the informal outreach. This is not part of the formal CEQA effort yet, but we are getting feedback from the communities along the pipeline alignment. But some of the key CEQA activities that are formalized will be the notice of preparation will be issued in the third quarter of next year. That will be a first formal opportunity to get stakeholder and community input into the process. And then in mid-2023, we're anticipating circulating the draft EIR for public comments. Again, another opportunity for formal stakeholder and community input into that process. And as I mentioned earlier, in the first quarter of 2024, we're expecting to be taking the programmatic EIR to our board for certification, and that will complete the environmental planning process for the program. Next slide. Okay, Tom, I'm going to bring us into the home stretch and just kind of wrap up with the Advanced Purification Center. It's really a very useful tool for us. It allows us to do a number of things out there, testing, of course, our innovative process, gaining regulatory approval for that process. It's going to provide us with input for the full-scale facility design, but also it's very important to gain public support. I've got an upcoming slide that'll take you to the website so you can schedule a virtual tour, and we're hoping soon that we'll have in-person tours. But for any of you that have not had a chance to go out to the Advanced Purification Tour, thank you very much. We'd really encourage you to either take a virtual tour or at the appropriate time have an in-person tour. And I think with one more mouse click, that's going to take me to the last slide. We have this website is very well positioned on the overall MWD website. It's on the homepage. If you go to the homepage and look to the upper right, you'll see the link to the Regional Recycled Water Program. And as Adele said, hopefully we'll be able to rename this to something else in the not too distant future. And with that, Tom, I'm going to wrap it up and be available to answer any questions.
Thank you, John.
So any questions from my colleagues on the board?
Adele or John, I am so excited about this project. It was hell getting the first upper.
Okay, I think we lost the
recycled water.
Director Fellow, your communication.
It's very exciting. Net.
Director Fellow, Zoom is not coming through. It looks like it froze. So are there any other questions? We can go back to
President Chavez, if I may.
Yes, Director Trevino.
Yeah, John, I think I've always said this. We and as Adele had mentioned, we need to start looking outside the box, throw the box away, and really what Met is doing right now is turning the page on what we've done in the past.
Sure.
And so I think that this is out of the box thinking. This is throwing the box away and looking at how we can do how we can make sure that we have a reliable water supply for the future. So I think this is a tremendous first step. I'm really proud of Metropolitan, really proud of the fact that that we're involved with this and working in partnership with Nevada and Arizona and other entities that that have a stake in this. So, yeah, MET is a water leader, and MET has always been a leader. I mean, we built the Colorado River Project, and we built the State Water Project. We were involved with that. MET has always been a leader in that. So I really, as Tony said, excited about this. This is an exciting thing. Thank you, John.
Mr. President, can you hear me now?
Absolutely.
Okay. I just wanted to mention, as Mr. Trevino said, I am very excited about this. And I wondered, and Adele and I have talked a bit about funding. And Adele, do you think we're going to get a portion of that $55 billion from the Napolitano legislation to help with this? Because funding will be a problem.
I don't think Adele is still on the line, but
John, do you know?
Yeah, I think we're positioning ourselves to be contenders for that funding. I know we've worked very closely with Congresswoman Napolitano on structuring the legislation so that it really applies to large regional projects like ours, like San Diego's, like other ones in Northern California, so that we can, you know, position ourselves well to receive some of that funding. So, yes, I would say the answer to that question in short is yes.
Good. You know, so I also wanted to give kudos to Adele. And I like his attitude about the Bay Delta. I wish we could have gotten into that. He believes that the state should pay for any work on the Bay Delta. And I think that's a good attitude, and put our resources into recycled water. But thank you for being here. It's very interesting. Good presentation.
Well,
thank
we appreciate you, the opportunity. We appreciate your agency's support. And I don't want to underplay the important contributions that your organization has made, especially on the pipeline alignment and some of the other foundational work that you did with your prior project, because I think we're going to be able to leverage those results and really jumpstart this program. So thank you.
One water, one nation. That's going to be the mantra.
Thank you. At this time, anyone in the audience or any of producers wish to address this issue with John, they may do so. If you could raise your hand or let us know one way or another that you would like to make some comments, please do.
It looks like we have Tony Zampiello.
We have Tony Zampiello from Watermaster. Tony, how are you?
Welcome. Good morning, Mr. Chavez and the board. I just wanted to let you know that even though we've already told you this, that Watermaster is very excited to pursue this project. We've been working with John and his group now for a couple of years to make sure that we have room in the basin to take this water on an ongoing basis. And we're really excited that Adele's predecessor did not have the same enthusiasm for the project, but we're really happy to see somebody coming in with all of the challenges he's facing in the position he's got with Metropolitan and still putting this project as such a high priority. So, John, you know, I'm hoping that, you know, I'm probably going to retire in the next 18 to 20 years. So hopefully I'll be able to see some of that water. That was a joke. But hopefully I'll be able to be around to see some of this water start going into the basin. We're excited about it. And our board's excited too.
Absolutely. Thank you, Tony. Any other comments from our audience? I don't see anyone else. So if that's the case, I want to thank you, John, for your presentation. You're always welcome to the Upper District, and thank you for being a partner with us.
Thank you.
And I have an announcement. So the trivia contest winner is Kelly Gardner. She got the right answer to the Jeff Goldblum question. And the two movies were Jurassic Park, when the dinosaur is chasing the Jeep and he says, must go faster. The other is Independence Day, when Will Smith and he are flying the spaceship outside the mothership. And the doors are closing, and Jeff Goldblum says, got to go faster. So we'll leave you with that, John. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Thank you. With that, we'll continue on the agenda. Item number 8 is informational items. There's our press release and news articles that you may read at your leisure. We'll go to item number 9, attorney's report. We'll start with Stephen O'Neill. Ms. O'Neill, welcome.
Good morning, President Chavez and members of the board. Just a brief report this morning. We've worked with Evelyn on a couple of employee handbook matters since the last meeting. But what I wanted to share with the board is kind of a general information item. Now that we're seeing the effects of the Delta variant on some other water agencies and some other, you know, statewide agencies, I just want to report I had another client who implemented a new COVID protocol on Monday that I thought I'd share with the board. As you know, a lot of agencies have kind of an honor system when it comes to checking on the vaccination status of its employees. And on Monday, West Basin essentially moved away from the honor system and took action to require employees to show proof of vaccination. And if an employee did not have proof of vaccination or stated that they're unvaccinated, then those employees are required to undergo weekly COVID testing to ensure that the staff knows whether there would be, you know, a COVID employee in the workplace. So I know we're starting to see this. This is essentially what the state has implemented. I believe last Sunday, that's when Governor Newsom announced the state protocol, and this is essentially following that state protocol. Bear in mind that there are a couple of big exemptions for this type of requirement, in that if an employee has a religious exemption or a disability or medical exemption, or reason rather, for not getting vaccinated, that can allow an employee to remain unvaccinated. But I can tell you it's kind of, I talked to employment lawyers about this, and it's kind of new ground in employment law. Pardon the pun, but it's really kind of uncharted waters in terms of how you handle this. Because as you may know, on some situations where an employee has a disabling condition, the employer has to make an accommodation. And so there's a kind of an uncertain question as to how long an accommodation for something like this, which apparently is going to be with us every year, like the flu, apparently, like how long does the accommodation go on? So we're starting to see this, these employment related issues kind of hit the radar screen of a lot of different agencies. And I just noticed this morning that it looks like tomorrow President Biden might order a similar protocol for all federal employees, that if they do not have proof of testing, then they must undergo regular tests. So it's something we'll keep an eye on and keep monitoring, but it is a kind of an interesting new development with the resurgence of this Delta vaccine and how the agencies are responding to it. So with that, I'll, of course, entertain any questions and conclude my report.
So, Stephen, I have a question. For those people that are not vaccinated and they have a religious or a health issue that they cannot or decide not to be vaccinated, are they still required for testing of COVID?
Yes, in this protocol that has been implemented by the state and, again, by some local agencies, it would require a weekly testing. And the state has implemented for more, I guess you'd call them high-risk activities, elder care and health care for state employees. The testing, I believe, has to be twice a week. So, yeah, it's designed to implement a pretty rigid testing protocol for unvaccinated employees. And, of course, as you know, I think at least in L.A. County for indoor activities, I think masking is mandatory at this point. So,
okay, thank you. Any questions for our attorney, directors? If not, thank you for your report. We'll go to number 10, engineer's report. And I see Mr. Johnson on the line there. Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. President. And hello to the board, everyone, the audience. Good to see everybody. Great report by John Benarski. I've worked with John for, you say he's been there 30 years. I think for the entire 30 years. Really good guy. John's a really solid guy. Great information about, you know, real progress they're making because they're starting to issue contracts to consultants for the conveyance route and all that. That's real progress on the project. So I think we're tracking. That's great. So anyway, hydrologic conditions. As you would expect, Key Well is dropping. We're in the middle of the summer and it's been very, very dry. It dropped about 2 feet from the prior month and about 15 feet from where we were a year ago. The most current Key Well elevation on July 23rd was 189.3. We're now dropped under the 190 mark. We still got about almost 160,000 acre feet of water, imported water in cyclic storage. And so that represents about 20 feet. So we've still got a lot of water in storage. The work that's been done between the water master and the water districts, certainly upper district and MWD, to put water in the basin is the reason why we're in not as bad a shape as we certainly would be without the with all the imports and the replenishment we did in prior years. So up in the canyon, it's very, very dry. Inflow is very low, down to 5 CFS in the San Gabriel, Dam. So it's very dry up there. Only about 11,000 acre feet in total storage up there, which is getting right down near minimum pool. In the last month, there were no imported water deliveries for any of the three municipal water districts. I've given you rainfall, but I'll just mention it again. Putting Stone Dam, 34% of long-term average for the fiscal year. LA Civic Center, 38% of long-term average are very, very low. And that means the runoff replenishment from our local rain, very, very low. We normally get 100 to 120,000 acre feet of local water. We're down around 20,000 acre feet is all we've seen in local replenishment for the basin. So very dry year. We'd have to tighten our buckles and get through this. Water quality. During June, 17 wells were sampled under the Title 22 program, and in May, 71 samples were taken under the Title 22 program. As I mentioned before, the amount that we sample each month varies because they're on different sampling cycles. That's why you see the big difference. And we have not received any new notices of wells shut down due to water quality. And with that, I also be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Any questions for our engineer? If not, thank you. I hope Mr. Johnson didn't feel rushed by the must go faster quote. So you did very well.
Thank you.
We'll go to item 11, which is general manager's report. Mr. Lowe.
Yeah, in addition to the written report, I have a few things to report a current status on. So I previously reported to the board that we had begun deliveries of some water to the city of Azusa's surface water treatment plant up the canyon. This delivery is actually coming through the San Gabriel District pipeline, and it has been flowing at about 10 cubic feet per second or about 20 acre feet a day for the past month. I just received a note this morning from Jared. They'd like to increase that flow to 15 CFS. So we'll coordinate that with the Metropolitan Water District and the San Gabriel District. We are continuing to coordinate the potential for some fall wet water deliveries through USG3. We hope to get at least 15,000 acre feet of wet water delivered. This is to fill a current order that has come through Water Master, but we're going to wait until the fall to fill that order. And in the fall, we may have a better opportunity of moving State Water Project as some of the agricultural demands on the State Water Project decline as we enter the cooler autumn months. At the same time, I mentioned before that we are updating the Quagga Mussel Mitigation Plan in the event at some point in the future, we have a need to take untreated Colorado River water into the basin, and we need to have a quagga mussel mitigation plan that is acceptable to the county flood control before we're able to do that. On the water supply status, we are increasing our outreach efforts as the drought in the western United States is now getting international, certainly national news attention. CBS Sunday Morning covered the western drought a couple of weeks ago. And certainly here locally and with the governor's declaration call for voluntary 15% conservation, we are getting a lot of questions from our local electeds about what's going on, how are we doing. So we are going to be out working with each one of the directors in your division to make presentations to our producers, governing boards, as well as our local city councils. And so that will be going on through the months of August and September. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Any questions from the board of directors? If not, then thank you, Mr. Love. We'll go to item number 12, which is director's comments, and we'll start off with Dr. Fellow.
Thank you, Mr. President. I do have a short report. A special organization personnel and technology committee meeting was held yesterday so that we can hear the Shaw Law Group discuss the findings of the MWD's workplace climate assessment. And I'm sure you've read the report. Tom did send it out, or some executive summary of the report, or you've read the Los Angeles Times coverage of the findings. Interesting. It depends on how you, where you are and how you interpret those findings. It was interesting in the public comments before we even began the discussions that people called in and said it was a weak report, has the wrong conclusions, the wrong details. I think, but by the end of the day, I think all of the board appreciated the work of the Shaw Law Group and for its exhaustive study. Just to give you some idea of what the findings were again and some of the recommendations, and I think the board may disagree on some of the findings, but I think we all agree on a lot of the recommendations. And the findings generally, some of the general findings that they reported yesterday was that the data does not support a finding of current widespread EEO issues at the district. And the district has not properly responded to certain EEO issues was the second thing it talked about. In the past, or prior managers did not embrace the responsibility to prevent EEO issues by promoting positive working environment and effectively managing employee performance. And third, generally, MWD provides a safe and respectful environment for women, ethnic minorities, LGBTQ, but we have some work to do. The recommendations I think the board found most interesting, we will take this up in August, which recommendations we will go forward with. But the first was the establishment of a separate EEO office, separate from the ethics office, separate from the legal department, to investigate any EEO issues that come before it. Second was to improve the role of the managers and district leadership to prevent EEO issues, including retaliations. And third, improvements in the DEI council's organization and structure. The recommendations by the Shaw Group are very commendable and workable, and if and hopefully some of these will be put in place and we will see some positive changes at MET. I think right now is Adele's big challenge is bringing the board together. It's a very fractured board. I would say 50% and 50%, and it's got to come together. And I think it will come together on these recommendations. But that is my report. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll go to Director Garcia.
I just want to say that I loved that presentation. I loved all the maps and everything. It was great to know what the future holds for us. I definitely agree that we must go faster. So thank you for that. And thank you for your jokes, both Tom and Director Chavez. They were keeping everything quite light. So I appreciate those too.
Thank you. We'll go to Director Trevino.
Yeah, thank you, President Chavez. Yeah, I read the report, and one of the things I agree with is that there should be a separate EEO office, and the person that heads the EEO office should be familiar with EEO procedures and should be familiar with how the law works in terms of complaints. And it should report directly to the board with the same status as the ethics office. I think also the ethics office should be upgraded to an inspector general with also hiring for investigators and attorneys, much like also the EEO office should be given that. EEO office should be given that same responsibility. There was a troubling conclusion in the Shaw report, which I couldn't reconcile, although the board feels that, that there is some, things that are working well for men. But one of the conclusions was 63% of the women have indicated that, they have issues with, management and 63% have said that they have, either been aware of or exposed to, issues of harassment. And I wonder if the Shaw Group or the board is going to be aggressively looking at that, because it's something that's a figure that's way out. I mean, we cannot have that in an agency like Metropolitan. So any idea, Tony, on that?
There's some problem with the statistics. For instance, and one of the charts that showed 71% agree that Met's a good place to work, but 28% don't. In any time, sexual harassment problem is enough in an organization. And it's unfortunately these do occur, but there was the statistic also showed, I don't know what the statistic was, but it wasn't that high of those that disagreed, because it had people neither agree or disagree with this, and they included that as disagree, which is incorrect when you're talking about research. So the board questioned that. But as you mentioned, one of the things I wanted to mention, I'm glad you brought it up, is that the board would like to see an EEO office and one with teeth, one that has investigators, as you mentioned, to look at these complaints and to take it serious. And I think the recommendations are going to be that we're going to come forward with will be very good for Met and produce some positiveness among the employees there. And Adele knows that this is his greatest challenge right now, and I hope it turns out. Thank you.
Thank you. And then with that, I have no comments. That will conclude the director's comments. We'll go to item number 13, future agenda items.
An announcement. So John talked about the treatment process after the sanitation district process, but at the second meeting in August, I believe it's August 25th at our board meeting, we will have the sanitation district here to give us a presentation on their operations at San Jose Creek and Whittier Narrows, the two plants that supply our current recycled water system. And then secondly, a reminder to the board, we are panning in, we're confirming the strategic plan retreat on November 13th. That's a Saturday, and we'll probably run it from 7:30 to 1 o'clock. And that's it.
Okay. Thank you. Look forward to the sanitation district. I my wife and I actually got to serve on the sanitation district. And I don't know, Tony, did you ever get to serve on that district?
Well, yes, I did. Were you going and you do a vote?
Yes. So it's a important district. It's a big board. It's a large membership there, and it's good to hear a presentation from them coming up. So with that, future agenda items, item number 13. I don't hear any, so we'll go to item number 14. Before we, or item 14, there's no closed session, so we'll go to item 15 for adjournment. And before we do that, are there any final comments from the general manager?
No, Mr. Chairman.
No? With that, then I'll go ahead and move to adjourn. And thank you all for participating.